मौनव्या क्या प्रकटित पर ब्रह्म तत्वम युवाणम वर्षिष्ठान्ते वसदृशिगणैर आवृतम ब्रह्मनिष्ठैः आचार्येन्द्रम करकलित चिन्मुद्रम आनंदरूपम स्वात्मा रामम मुदितवदनम दक्षिणामूर्तिमीडे यन्नित्यमानन्दम अनंतमेकं शिवेति नाम्ना श्रुतयो गृणन्ति तस्यावतारो नररूपधारी कृपासुदाब्धी भुविरामकृष्णः जननीं शारदां देवीं रामकृष्णं जगद्गुरुं पादपद्मे तयोः श्रित्वा प्रणमामि मुहुर्मुहुः जन्माद्यस्य यतोऽन्वयात् इतरतश्चार्त्वेषभिज्ञस्वराड् तेने ब्रह्महृताय आदिकवये मुह्यन्ति यत्सूरयः तेजो वारिमृता यथा विनिमयो यत्र त्रिसर्गो मृषा धाम्ना स्वेन सदा निरस्तघोकं सत्यं परं धीमहि सत्यव्रतं सत्यपरं त्रिसत्यं सत्यस्य योनिं निहितं च सत्ये सत्यस्य सत्यं मृतसत्यनेत्रं सत्यात्मकं त्वां शरणं प्रपन्नाः मूकं करोति वाचालं पंगुं लंघयते गिरिं यत्कृपातमहं वंदे परमानंदमाधवं यस्वानुभावमखिल श्रुतिसारमेकं अध्यात्मदीपमदितितीर्षतां तमोन्धं संसारिणां करुणयाह पुराणगुह्यं तं व्याससूनुम् उपयामि गुरुं मुनीनाम्। Every human being wants to live happily without sorrow. Every human being wants to avoid suffering. Still, without suffering, there is no one in the world. That is our experience. Everybody suffers, whether he is educated or illiterate, rich or poor, young or old, male or female, everyone suffers. All our efforts to avoid suffering proves futile. It appears that our suffering is gone. It is gone only to come back with all vigor. It is like somebody carrying a load, heavy load. When he finds that it is too much, what he does? He shifts that load from one shoulder to another shoulder. So, like the waves in the ocean, it comes one after the other and proves that it is a choiceless thing in a human life. Since sorrow is choiceless one and having no permanent solution, there must be some purpose for its inevitable presence in our life. When you observe its choicelessness, then you will understand its purpose in your life. Therefore, Bhagavan Krishna says in Gita that of all spiritual practices, one spiritual practice is very efficacious. What is that? Dukkha dosha anudarshanam. Anudarshanam dukkhasya doshasya. Repeatedly seeing the inevitable presence of this dukkha gives us a pass in our running. Repeatedly seeing the inevitable presence of dukkha, dukkhasya anudarshanam, not one or two times, repeatedly, when you see that, when you probe the purpose of that dukkham, then you understand that it reveals a beautiful fact of our life that anityam asukam lokam. Imam lokam anityam asukam. Nobody is free from this dukkha. Everybody has asukha. Then whatever happens in our life, including this dukkha, everything in our life is anityam. That also comes and goes. If totally we are sorrowful continuously, everybody will die. Nimajjan unmajjan. You are going to the sea to have a nice swimming. One wave comes, what it does? Puts you down the water. as even you go inside, you suffer like anything for breath, and you decide somehow or the other, I have to get away from this. So when you try to come up, then you feel, I am all right. As even you are all right, again one more wave comes, and so there is a gap between one dukkha to another dukkha that makes our life to continue. If it is continuously dukkha, nobody will desire to leave at all. So anityam asukam lokam is the fact revealed when you probe the mechanism of dukkha. Then what is the way out? In the Gita, Bhagavan says, bhajasvama. Turn towards nitya vastu. Turn towards Bhagavan. Very sorrow becomes an inspiration for humanity to turn towards the Lord. That is why Kunti Devi asked for it voluntarily. We saw in the first chapter, Kunti Devi prayed for dukkha daily. When Bhagavan asked, why you are praying like this? Nobody prays like this. She told, there is a purpose in that, because I can remember you. Generally, dukkha makes me to remember you. When Parikshit encountered a great dukkham, he observed that dukkham which came suddenly to him by Rishi Shapa. Even though he was blessed with huge wealth, vast kingdom, great power, beautiful wives, intelligent children, still all of them were reduced to dust just within a moment. All his worldly achievements became irrelevant for him when he understood that he has Alpa Ayush. His lifetime is very, very minimum. When he understood, all the worldly achievements became irrelevant to him. When he observed this dukkham, which is in the form of Alpa Ayush, he developed Vairagyam, turned towards the Lord. Then Bhagavan provided satsanga. Because of his dharmic life, he provided satsanga and a sadguru. And when Parikshit surrendered to his sadguru, Shukacharya asked the way out for his dukkham. Shukacharya told, Janmalabha Parav Pumsa Ante Narayana Smriti. Narayana Smriti is the only way to get away from dukkham. How to keep that Narayana Smriti? Tasmat Bharata Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishvaro Harihi Shrotavyaha Kirtitavyascha Smartavyascha Ichchata Abhayam. If you want to get freedom from dukkha, which is in the form of abhayam, fearlessness, then this is the only way. Sarvatma Bhagavan Ishvaraha Harihi Shrotavyaha Kirtitavyaha Smartavyascha. So entire teaching of Bhagavadam is really over. Bhagavadam is over actually. What is the teaching? Human life will be a failure without Narayana Smriti. Human life will be a continuous suffering without Narayana Smriti, and it will prove as a waste of time. For Narayana Smriti, what is the sadhana? Shravanam and Kirtanam. When you do Shravanam and Kirtanam, automatically Smaranam comes. You can see that children, when they hear advertisements, when they hear advertisements repeatedly, they will sing that advertisement. Even though there is no TV, they will automatically sing. How it comes? Because through Shravanam it has gone inside, then now it comes outside. When Sutamani reported this conversation between Shukacharya and Parikshit to Shaunakadi Rishis, Shaunakadi Rishis were very happy to hear this entire teaching of Bhagavatam in a nutshell form. They praised the memory power and wisdom of Sutamani and requested to tell more and more about the conversation between Shukacharya and Parikshit. Sutamani accepted their greetings with all humility and told, actually I was one among the audience as Upashrota. I was not a main audience. I was one among them. Shukacharya did not teach me directly. Though thousands of rishis were there in the audience group, still Shukacharya saw only Parikshit. Parikshit was the center of attraction. Always he used to address, "Hey Rajan, Hey Nripa," like that. Once in a while at least he could have addressed, "Oh audience, Oh rishis," like that. Not a single address comes in the Bhagavatam. So Parikshit Raja was the only center of attraction. I was sitting there as the one among the audience. And even though Jnana Pravaha, that is the flow of knowledge, came like Ganga Pravaha, like the flow of Ganga from the mouth of Shukacharya, the problem is my vessel is small vessel. However much I could grasp and understand, that much only I could remember, that much only I can repeat to you all. Now he goes to the flashback. Main teacher is Sutamuni. So Sutamuni gives this teaching to Shaunakadi Rishis, bringing the flashback incidents happened between Shukacharya and Parikshit. Then in Parikshit audience, there are so many people, Parikshit also will bring one more flashback. This is what happened between Narada and Brahma. This is what happened between Uddhava and Krishna. This is what happened between Vidura and Maitreya Rishi, like that. One by one flashbacks will come. Now Parikshit asks to Shukacharya. Rajovacha samichinam vacho brahman sarvajnasya tava anagha tamo vishiryate mahyam harehe kathayatah katham. O great Rishi, O embodiment of purity, He sarvajna, O omniscient one, whatever you told is truth. What you told, Narayana Smriti is the highest achievement in the human life, you told, that is really a truth. And listening to your truthful words, which glorifies the Lord, my ignorance is getting shaken. Now I have only 7 days left, therefore I am in hurry. I want to hear more and more Harikatha. Please tell about the Srishti Sthiti Laya, Leelas of the Lord. How does the Lord creates this world? How does He sustains and dissolves this world without going through any transformation, without doing anything? The question is what? How does Bhagavan creates without going through any transformation or without doing anything? How does He manifest Himself as the many? Srishti Sthiti Laya of the world is called Gambhirya Leela. In the scriptures, two types of Leelas are mentioned. One is Gambhirya Leela, another is Madhura Leela. Gambhirya Leela means actions performed by the Lord keeping Himself as Ishvara. As an invisible entity, He does so many things. So that is called Gambhirya Leela, that is Srishti Sthiti Layadi. In Avatara period, He does lot of Leelas. Killing Kamsa, killing Kauravas, like that, varieties of Leelas He does. So that is called Madhura Leela. Madhura Leela can be told because it is Madhura. It is nice to hear. You can understand also. But how to tell Gambhirya Leela? How can He explain an inexplicable one? How to explain the one becoming many without modification? Nowhere we find. Human mind always see something happens because of something. Cause effect theory is there in every event in our life. When we don't know what is the cause of the effect, we say it as accident. But nothing is accident. Everything is incident. Known reason means it is incident. Unknown reason incident is called as accident. So how to describe one becoming many without going through any transformation? A seed becomes tree. In that tree so many seed comes. But already the seed has gone. First seed is destroyed, then only it became tree. Similarly, if Bhagavan becomes this entire creation, one entity has become the many entity. By the time when many entity manifests, that time one entity is gone. But that rule will not apply for Bhagavan. So how one becomes many without getting transformation or modification. How to explain this? Therefore, Shukracharya hesitated in the beginning. But suddenly he remembered a fact. Vakta Shrota Cha Narayana. Why should I hesitate? Because the speaker also Bhagavan only. Listener also is Bhagavan only. So sitting in the heart of the speaker, he gives out this knowledge. Sitting in the hearts of the listeners, he receives this knowledge. Both are he himself. So why should I bother about? The very physical body of the speaker becomes a mere instrument. Will tape recorder bother about what lecture I should give? Will tape recorder or MP3 player will bother about what class I should take? Therefore, Shukracharya, with all smiling, prays for the Lord's blessing because there is a possibility of misrepresenting the facts. Because it is inexplicable. You cannot talk about it. But still you are asked to talk about it. So how to talk about it? So there must be proper usage of words. And the idea of the teacher should be converted as words. And that word should be proper words so that the listener can receive them properly. And that proper words should be converted again in the mind of the listener again as the idea. So this conversion requires Bhagavan's interference. So therefore, Shukracharya prays to the Lord's blessing. Namah parasmai purushaya bhuyase sadudbhavastana nirodha leelaya grihita shakti tritayaya dehinam antarbhavayanupalakshya vartmane. Salutations to that Supreme Lord, the infinite entity, who is behind this Srishti, Stiti, Laya of this creation, who is behind the manifestation, sustenance and dissolution of this creation, who has manifested as the very creation itself, who is indwelling spirit of all beings and who is unseen director of everything happens in this world. Namo namaste stvarishabhaya sattvadam vidura kashtaya muhukku yoginam nirasta samyadishayena radhasa swadhamani brahmani ramsyate namaha. Salutations again and again to the Lord, who is nirasta samya atishayena radhasa, who is equal to none. No one, no entity is equal to him or more than him in terms of his glories. Because Bhagavan is the only Sarvajnaha, omniscient entity. Is there any competitor for Bhagavan? So he is the only Sarvajnaha, Sarvashaktiman, and he is the repository of all the good qualities we find in the creation. Ananta Kalyana Guna Sampannaha, they say. And Swadhamani Brahmani Ramsyate, who shines in his glory of being infinite entity. How many infinite entities will be there? Only one is possible. So he shines in his glory of being only infinite entity. One who is Akanta Chaitanya Swarupaha, being Akanta Vastu, he is only one, Eka Vastu. He revels in his own glory. Nobody is there even to play with him. That's what we find, that's Puranic stories. After dissolution, what happens? There will be Jala Pralaya. After Pralaya, there will be everywhere waters. In that waters, one leaf will be there. On that leaf, one child will be lying, sucking its own toe. A child will be lying on the leaf, sucking the toe. So one Acharya beautifully explains why this child was sucking the toe, its own toe. He asked, oh, you are hungry, you want to have mother's feeding. So since mother is not there, you are sucking your own toe. Because children have a habit of sucking the thumb. You should have sucked your thumb. Why you are sucking your toe? Then he says, Oh, you thought that there must be some sweetness in your toe. Because when you are in manifested condition as the Ishvara in the Jagat, all people fell down at your feet. So everyone was falling down at my feet. There must be something with my feet. What is that you want to know? Therefore you are sucking your toe like that. That is what in the Puranas it is explained. What is that actual idea? As Akhanda Vastu, there cannot be any second entity. Therefore he revels in his own glory. What glory? Glory of infinite entity in spite of appearing as many. What is the glory? Glory of one entity in spite of appearing as many. Then the question may come, what is the proof for that entity? How can one and the same entity appear as many? Generally we don't find it. Without getting transformation, one entity never becomes many. But here one entity appears as many. How is it possible? Is there any proof for that existence of that entity? Here Shukacharya says, Rishabhaya Satvatam Vidura Kashtaya Muhukkuyoginam. This one infinite entity which appears as many can be recognized by Satvatam, by sadhus, by spiritual seekers only. Those who are not spiritual seekers, they can never recognize him. He is far, far away from their understanding. By giving this wisdom of oneness, Bhagavan protects the spiritual seekers. Therefore, he is called Satvatam Rishabhaya. He is the protector of all the devotees. In Upanishads, while talking about that one entity, Upanishad says, Durastham Chanti Kechatat. It is far away and at the same time it is very near. One and the same entity is far away and at the same time very near. How can it be so? That which is near must be near. It cannot be far away. If it is far away, it cannot be nearby. How can one and the same entity can be far away and at the same time very near? The answer is, for a jnani, for a wise man, that entity is very, very near. How? As his own inner self, as his own Atma Swarupam, that jnani has recognized this fact that Bhagavan is nothing but my own self. But for an ignorant, Bhagavan is far away, not even inside the continent or anywhere in the world, is far away behind the clouds. That's why everybody prays, O Lord. So he resides somewhere else in heavens or Vaikuntha or Shivaloka. Therefore that Ajnani waits to attain him after successfully dying by a travel. So he is waiting eternally for his arrival. Endru varuvaro, when he will come, when he will come and give me darshan. Every moment of our life we are experiencing nothing but Bhagavan, but still being ignorant, what we think that he is somewhere else different from us. Therefore we are waiting for his arrival. The ignorant person struggles to realize him by various religious practices. For an ignorant, he is durastaha, very, very far away. He is sadhya vastu. Sadhya means what? He is going to be an attainable entity in future. But for jnani, he is antikaha. He is very, very near, being siddha vastu, already attained entity. When recognized, it is very near. When not recognized, it remains far, far away. Very struggle to attain him presupposes the negation of attained thing. Very struggle to attain anything presupposes what? That you have already negated that it is already attained. Then only you can struggle to attain. A person went to purchase donkeys. After purchasing in low price, he was very happy. He was coming back to his home. And when he arrived home, he got confused because one donkey is missing. He was shouting. Then wife came. What happened? Oh, one donkey is missing, one donkey is missing. How many you purchased? 5. She understood what happened. So she told, I don't see 4, I see 6 donkeys. This person is sitting on one donkey and thinking that it is missing. It is there, but still it is missing according to his understanding. Similarly, every jiva is nothing but Bhagavan himself, but still it searches for Bhagavan because of coverage in our mind by Mahamaya Shakti. The search continues, search struggle continues. So our Tulasidas ji has beautifully sung, Lahari dunde laharuko kapata dunde su jiva dunde brahmako tino utke ut. Lahari dunde laharuko. Wave is searching for water. Kapata dunde su. Cloth is searching for fabric. Jiva dunde brahmako. Jiva, individual, is searching for the infinite. Tino utke ut. All the three are utke ut. Ut means filtered idiot. Ut means what? Filtered idiot. Who is that filtered idiot? A wave which searches for water. A cloth which searches for fabric. Similarly, an individual searches for infinite. Tino utke ut. So, Shastra or a teacher comes in our life and he points out that you are that tadu tvam asi. Up to that time, our daridriya doesn't go. Our beggarliness doesn't go at all. Being the prince, still we continue to live as beggars because of absence of this particular knowledge. In our Guru Parampara, there is a story. When a Raja went to hunting along with his son, unfortunately, he lost his son while hunting. Because hunting is not sitting in one place and doing. The Raja has to run here and there chasing the animal. So he lost his son. And with all sorrowful mind, he came back to kingdom and sent again warriors to search for his son. They could not find. So with that sad mind, he passed away. That kingdom became without Raja. Ministers were ruling. So one day, when the minister came to the forest, he found a beautiful young man. And as even he saw that young man who was appearing as the hunter, he understood that he is not hunter. So he went near him and saw his back shoulder. Then he was very much convinced that he is the prince. So he asked young man, who are you? The young man told, I am son of so-and-so hunter. All the time struggling for getting one animal or another for my life. So minister took that young boy to the foster father and asked, where you got this son? That father told, what you are asking? He is my son. Then minister told, no, he cannot be your son. He is Raja, Yuvaraja. Then when threatened, finally the foster father, hunter, agreed. Hunter agreed, but this young man doesn't agree. How can you say so? Suddenly you come and say that he is not my father. How much he loved me? How much I loved him? How can you say that he is not my father? Then the minister showed, there is a Raja Mudra on your back shoulder, please see. When every child is born in those days, they used to give one Raja Mudra, identification mark. Similarly, when a guru comes to our life, he will show that Raja Mudra. What is that Raja Mudra? Being consciousness is our Rajamudra. Correct? We are different from the inert materials, being conscious. That consciousness is our Rajamudra. That is the connection between us, the individual, and the Lord, the infinite. So when you own up that revelation, that Tadu Tvam Asi, that's why Shastra never calls any individual as sinner. It calls Amrutasya Putra. This parampara calls every individual as Amrutasya Putra. You are embodiment of immortality. Amrutasya Putraha means children of immortality or children of Lord. When you own up that wisdom or revelation, then how much you have to struggle to become Raja? How much already you are struggling for 100 rupees or 200 rupees? So when somebody comes and says that you are the prince actually, you laugh at them. So you sympathize with that teacher. Ayyo papa, yeno time avarge time hogbeku. Matta matta idhe eluttare. All the time in every class we thought of some jokes or some stories, but still repeatedly same thing he says, you are Bhagwan, you are Bhagwan, you are Bhagwan. You sympathize with that teacher. So due to various distractions, due to coverage of Mahamaya, of ignorance, of desires, of preoccupations, of relationships, we forget our real nature. That Guru struggles according to his capacity, he struggles. Unless you understand, he is not going to stop. If you refuse to understand in this world, wherever you go, there will be another Guru. Even if you go to Brahma Loka, there will be Brahmaji. So therefore, it is better to understand here itself in this life, because one mouth, only one sound comes. Brahmaji means four mouths. Four sounds will come. Understand? Four types of Veda Vakyas will come. You have to understand. No other way. Because that is a fact. And that is the only solution. As long as you are dreaming that you are someone else, suffering is inevitable. There was a Raja who did not have a child, wanted to have a prince, wanted to have a future king. Worried about how to select that future king. Minister told, don't worry, we have a tradition of selecting future king from the citizen themselves. Huge exhibition ground wherein so many things are available. Morning 6 o'clock to evening 6 o'clock, exhibition will be opened. Raja will be there inside the exhibition ground. One who sees that Raja will become future Raja. That is the competition. Raja Drashta, Raja Bhavati. Then so many people came. Among them, there was one person who appeared to be in the same form of this Raja. So he also entered the exhibition ground. And as even people walked and walked, there are invitations for tiffin. And lot of libraries were there, and giant wheels and recreation grounds, cinema theatres, libraries, so many things were there. So every place he has to go and search whether Raja is there or not, then come out. He cannot avoid any place. He went to hotel, ate something, came out, went to library, saw there, came out, went to recreation place, searched for Raja, came out, like that. Everywhere he searched. Nowhere he could find. Finally, there was one place, a temple. And temple also, when he went, people are very busy with bhajans. Some are busy with bhajans, some are busy with meditation. In other places, some are really tired of searching. So, they nice food also they had. So, they were sleeping. Some are intelligent people, started reading the books in the library. Some are childish, therefore they were busy with that giant wheels and other things. Some wanted relaxation, therefore they went for entertainment area. But this person struggled, struggled, struggled. Finally he reached the temple. There also people were doing bhajan and meditation. Then he thought, this is not the time for bhajan and meditation. This is the time for searching the Raja. So when he saw, there also Raja was not there. Finally the sanctum sanctorum was there. Inside that one Shivalinga was there. When he said there also he was not there. So he prayed to the Lord, "Oh Lord, please provide me this knowledge. Where is this Raja?" In that anxious moment, when he prayed to the Lord very loudly, his wife came and shook up. What happened? "Now I am searching for Raja." "Which Raja?" "He himself is Raja. Raja is dreaming as though he doesn't have children, as though he has to find out someone, as though that someone also he himself." Understood? You project a dream and you yourself become the participant of the dream. So Shastra says, due to various distractions, even though he is very near to everyone, he appears to be very far away. That's what Bhagavan says in Gita, "Daivi hesha gunamayi mama maya duratyaya." My maya power is very, very difficult to cross. What is the way? "Mameva ye prapadyante mayam yetam tarantite." One who surrenders to me. One who surrenders to me means, how you surrender, you tell. How you surrender to the Lord? Is it an action? We think that surrendering is an action. Surrendering can never be an action. Why, you say? If it is an action, there must be a doer. After surrendering also, this fellow doer is standing alone. Correct? Doer does a particular action. While doing the action, doer is there. After completing the action, doer will be there or not? Will be there. So if you surrender, who is surrendering? Understand? If surrender is an action, who is the karta of that action, doer of that action? And what is offered, you tell? Like tanu manu dhanu sabu kuchu tera. Everything is yours. Daily this fellow says, everything is yours, O Lord, everything is yours. If everything is yours, how many times you will tell? Only one time you can tell. Understand? And the telling also cannot be an action. It will be a recognition of the fact that I cannot claim anything as mine. Similarly, here also, mamevaye prapadyante means recognition that I don't have any separate existence different from the Lord, the totality. The gap between the Lord is not in terms of space, it is not in terms of time. If you think that there is a gap in terms of space between you and the Lord, you will wait for death and try to reach some loka or heaven. If it is a gap in terms of time between you and the Lord, if you have this idea, then also you will wait for realization. You will wait for realization. You will not wait for traveling. You understand there is no traveling. But still there are spiritual seekers wait for realization. What realization? So it is nothing but recognition of the fact, ever existing fact. Being Sarvagataha, all-pervasive, infinite entity, he cannot be away from us in terms of space. Being Nitya Siddhaha, Atma Swarupaha, being our own inner self, he cannot be away from us in terms of time. Therefore, getting him is the only goal, and those who get him is sadhus. Sadhus alone get him. Therefore, Rishabhaya Satvatam Vidura Kashtaya Muhukku Yoginam. To such a Lord, who is very near to the sadhus and who is very far to the ignorant people, to such a Lord, my salutation. Yat kirtanam, yat smaranam, yat ikshanam, yat vantanam, yat shravanam, yat arghanam, lokasya sadyo vidhunoti kalmasham, tasmai subhadrashravase namo namaha. So knowing him as our higher nature is the goal. And what is the way? Sadhus only will understand like that, he told. So how to become sadhus? Sadhus means not purchasing some dhoti or shirt or baniyan and coloring with saffron color and you wore it, you become sadhu. That is not the way of becoming sadhu. So how to become a sadhu, how to become a spiritual seeker? In this shloka it is mentioned, Shukacharya says, my salutations to that Lord who is Subhadra Shravas, whose glory consists in his all purifying sanctity. When you glorify any other individual, you get something. If you glorify a rich person, you may get some money. If you glorify your children, then you may get some support from them. So what you get if you glorify the Lord? Here you get what? Purity. Because he is all purity. Subhadram Mangalam Shravo Yasho Yasya Subhadra Savasaha. Yad Kirtanam, Yad Smaranam, Yad Ikshanam, Yad Vandanam, Yad Shravanam, Yad Araganam, Lokasya Kalmasham Sadhyo Vidhunoti. Whose glory purifies the heart of the devotees, who sing his glory, who remember him, who serve him, who salute him and who worship him. For devotees like Gopikas, their entire life is centered on him. They did everything for the sake of Lord. Though they lived in the world with all responsibilities, duties, their mind was with the Lord only. They did not belong to the world. All their mundane activities like relating with family members, children, doing their daily duties, eating, sleeping, everything were nothing but a simple drama. That's why whenever they heard the flute sound of Krishna, what they did? They did not wait even to complete that particular action which they were involved. Some mothers are feeding their children. Simply they put aside the children and went away. Some mothers are cooking for their husband. Simply cooking is half done, they went away. Like that, when call comes from the Lord, they were ready to go towards him. In the story, it is in the form of Gopika and Krishna. Okay. Gopika's body is certainly different from Krishna's body. Correct. So it is told that they ran away. So how a devotee will run away towards the Lord, you tell. You can run away towards temple. How you will run towards the Lord? Once you defined the Lord as Akhanda Vastu, an all-pervasive entity, how will run towards the Lord? So it is nothing but knowing the fact that I cannot run towards the Lord. I am always with the Lord. Repeatedly knowledge comes here. So Gopikas were full of wisdom. Therefore, for them, Bhagavan and his Leelas were pillar. That's why they used to sing, Tava Kathamrutam Tapta Jeevanam. Your Kathamrita is there. After knowing what you will do, how to spend time, you cannot suicide. Jnani cannot suicide. So he has known the fact. So before knowing, at least for an ignorant person, there are so many projects to get fulfilled. For a Jnani, there is no project at all. There is no desire, possibility of desire at all. So how you will live the life? How you will live the life? Nothing but thinking or speaking or hearing the glories of the Lord. Therefore only, Tava Kathamrutam Tapta Jeevanam. Though these Gopikas are illiterate in the formal sense, due to their extreme attachment towards the Lord, they crossed over this samsara. Their mind was completely immersed or dragged by the glory of the Lord. Srinvan, Grunan, Samsmaran, Cha Chintayan, Namani, Rupani, Cha Mangalani, Te, Kriyasu, Yet Charanara, Vindayoho, Avishta Cheta, Na Bhavaya Kalpate. Avishta Cheta. Their mind is simply grabbed by the glories of the Lord. Every mind is grabbed. By what is the question? Every mind is grabbed. Students' minds are grabbed with exams. Exams, children, you are. All the time they are bothered about homework exam. And youth's mind are grabbed by girlfriend or boyfriend. And middle age means grabbed by family responsibilities. And businessman means grabbed by money, wealth, or like that, every person's mind is grabbed. But if it is grabbed by the Lord's glory, then what is the result? Na bhavaya kalpate. He will not come across this repeated sorrowful life. Gopikas, due to their extreme attachment, they did not suffer samsara tapaha. This attachment is born out of faith that Lord is my own. Attachment is born out of what? Faith that Bhagavan is my own, very, very dear to me. This is called Dhrida Vishwasa. This faith is necessary to cultivate this type of extreme attachment. Then Shukacharya says, Vichakshanaya charanopasadanat sangam yudasyo bhayontaratmanaha vindanti hi brahmagatim gataklama tasmai subhadrashravase namo namaha. Tasmai subhadrashravase namo namaha. My salutations to that Lord whose glory consists in His all purifying sanctity. By worshipping His holy feet, men of discrimination, that is who have taken sannyasa, ashrama sannyasins, easily overcome the attachment for enjoyments of this world and enjoyments of other worlds also. And finally, they attain self-knowledge. Vichakshanaha means vivekinaha, men of discrimination. Even after discrimination, there is a possibility of slipping away from the path of renunciation. Even after knowing that certain things are not necessary or not meant for me, still there is a possibility of falling from the ideal. So therefore, here Shukacharya says, if you don't want to fall from the ideal, what is the way? Hold on to the Lord. You can come over the temptations of the worldly enjoyments only by holding on to Him. Kamini Kanchana Kirti Tyagaha is not possible unless the seeker or a sannyasin hold on to Him. Mahamaya is so powerful and it has various forms and attractive forms. All are very, very attractive forms. So one moment of carelessness will bring you to fall. Therefore, Bhagavan Gita says, na, Mama Maya Duratyaya. My Maya is very difficult to cross. So, this group is sannyasins group. First group is what? Group of attachment, devotees. They don't have much clarification, but still they have an idea that Bhagavan belongs to us. Gopikas did not study any shastra, but still they had a great attachment that Bhagavan belongs to us. That idea that Bhagavan belongs to us became very powerful because of which the very attachment was there. And that attachment was very powerful attachment than any other attachment. They also loved their children, attached to their children and to their husband, to their family courts. And some are attached to even butter and buttermilk also. They used to scold Krishna. But still, when examination comes, what they did? When their devotion attachment was put in examination, so what they wrote? We are attached to Krishna only. When election came, for whom they voted? Not for butter or buttermilk, for children, not for children, not for husband, but for Bhagavan. So that group of attachment, devotees, requires Dhrida Vishwasa, and this group is Sannyasins group, and this group requires Dhrida Vairagyam. When Dhrida Vairagyam is there, Atmajnanam becomes a matter of course. So this type of devotion is practiced by sannyasins in general. Tapasvino danapara yashasvino manasvino mantravida sumangalaha kshemam navindanti vinaya darpanam tasmai subhadrashravase namo namaha. Third group is householders. Tapasvinaha, danaparaha. They spend all their wealth in charity. Who provides the necessity of people? Householder only provides. Student don't earn. Old people don't earn. Of course, sannyasi doesn't earn. So who is feeding everyone? Householder only is feeding. But that type of charity and tapas and japa, prayer, everything has validity as spiritual practice only when it is offered to the Lord. When our day-to-day life activities are offered to the Lord, when our religious practices are offered to the Lord, then it becomes the sadhana to gain Him, to gain the knowledge about Him. Kshemam na vindanti vina yadarpanam. Without offering, all these things become a source of one more fetter. It binds you more and more. So, to such a Lord, my salutation. By one shloka, He pointed out bhakti. Another shloka, He pointed out viveka marga or vairagya marga. Then He pointed out karma marga. To be a bhakta, you need dhrida vishwasa. Because you have not seen Bhagavan, nor you have understood Bhagavan, but still you have to transact with Him daily, and that too with a lot of attachment towards Him. So how you will do? Unless you have faith, you cannot do transaction with Him. Pure love is possible only by knowledge. Understood? Pure love is possible only by knowledge. The transactional love is possible by faith. If you have faith in your girlfriend that she will be better off, then you can transact in a nice way. You say, I love you, I love you. When you say, I love you, what does it mean? Not that you have come to know everything about her. Correct? So you have a faith by looking like this, by family, like that you have faith. Then you enter, there is a possibility of boomerang also. That is different. So, transaction love is possible by faith. Pure love is possible by wisdom. Devotees don't have wisdom, but they have faith. So bhakti becomes one source, one type of sadhana. And another group is sannyasins. For them, discrimination and detachment from the sensory objects becomes another type of sadhana. So for being a sannyasi, being a renunciate, what is the necessity? You need dhrida vairagyam. Without vairagya, nobody should go for this life. Then third group is karma marga group. Those who are active in participating in the world. Lot of things they have to do. Karma yogis they call. So what is the criterion to be a karma yogi? Anishthana paraya. So many things you have to do, even though you don't like, you have to do. If you are a karma yogi, not that all nice things only will come. Unwanted things also will come. Still, you have to do. Nice things may come, still you are not able to do. You are not allowed to do. Like that, first group, bhaktas group requires dhrida vishwasa. Sannyasins group require, renunciates group require dhrida vairagyam. Karma margins group require anishthana, capacity to follow the dharma. If a person doesn't have any of these things, what is the way? Either he has to be fit in bhakta group or in renunciate group or in karma yogis group. If he is not fitting anywhere, what is the way? Shukacharya says, kirata hunandra pulinda pulkasa abhira kanka yavana khasadayaha yenyecha papa yadupashaya shayaha shudhyanti tasmai prabhavishnave namaha. For them also there is a way. For who? For whom? One who doesn't fit in the any of this group, mentioned group. Three groups he mentioned. Devotees, renunciates, karma yogis. So, kirata, hunandra, pulinda, pulkasaha. These are all people who are not become even human being so far. Physically they are human being, but mentally they are not human being who have given their life for sensory pleasures. And because of that urge to have lot of sensory pleasures, they have done lot of papas also. Ye anyecha papaha, lot of sins they have committed according to their understanding. They are afraid of even getting inside the ashrama. One person was hesitating to come inside the ashrama. When his friend came to ashrama, he went inside. So you also please go inside. No, 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 Swamiji, not for me. Not for you means it is for all, I told. Our ashrama is for all. There is no discrimination. Any religious people can come. Even if Nastika, you can come, no problem. No, 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 not for me, Swamiji. Why not for you? Then he told, no, 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 I am not fit to enter the ashrama. That means what? According to him, he finds that he is unfit in this type of atmosphere. So what is the way? Edu upashraya ashrayaha. What is the way? Sadhu Sangha is the way, about which we will see in the next class. Krishnaya Vasudevaya Haraye Paramatmane Pranada Kleshanashaya Govindaya Namo Namaha Tadeva Ramyam Ruchiram Navam Navam Tadeva Shashvan Manaso Mahotsavam Tadeva Shokar Navashochanam Drunam Yaduttama Shloka Yashonu Giyate Gopika Jivana Smaranam Govinda Govinda.